Welcome to another sermon on the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul the Apostle wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. There could have been four Corinthians letters, as we've discussed before. Paul wrote this letter to defend his apostleship. That's why he writes more about his personal life in 2 Corinthians than he does any place else in the Bible. We know more about Paul from 2 Corinthians than anything else, than any place else. We're in verse 1 and verse 15. 1 and 15 is where we are now. We'll be reading from the Greek text, translating it, and telling a little bit about the grammar. And then we'll be using the Amplified Bible to be another little asset to our understanding of 2 Corinthians. Kai, Tauta, Te, Pepoi, they say, Ebulemain, Proteron, Pros, Himas, Elthane, Hina, Deuteron, Karin, Skate. And in this, the persuasion. This word persuasion means to persuade, to convince. In this, the persuasion, I kept on determining, I kept on wishing. The word comes from bulimai, which means to wish or to want something. I kept on wanting, determining, and wishing. Formerly, proteron, formerly, before, to ye to come. There was a period of time that he wished to come back to them very much. He wished very much. In order to that, a second, look at this word second here. Actually, we can put the word the in there if we want to. The second grace ye might have. I have, first of all, when Paul was there, they got a gift of having an apostle right there. And Paul's going to defend his apostleship. But also, he was able to confer upon this church spiritual gifts. So, maybe he's saying here that I want to give, impart to you another spiritual gift, or I want to grace you with my presence so I can give you direct understanding from the Lord, because this is what we call canon of Scripture right here. This is it. This is a canon of Scripture. Now let's go back and look at this a little bit further. And this, the persuasion, I kept on wishing, wanting, determining. And that first person singular, imperfect indicative middle, for himself, before or formerly to you to come. And this word to come there is second aorist, infinitive active. A second grace, or the second grace, that ye might have. Now that word there, ye might have, a second person plural, second aorist, subjunctive, active. You may or may not have it. If I don't get there, you're not going to have this second gift. You're not going to have the gift of my presence there either. Verse number 15, let's look at what it says here in the Amplified. It was with assurance of this that I wanted and planned to visit you, first of all, so that you might have a double favor or a token of grace. Remember, he could impart spiritual gifts to that church at that time. Now, they had misused some, but him being there was a gift in itself. Even this letter is part of the canon of Scripture. Now, let's go in verse number 16. 1 and verse 16. Kai, di, himon, di elthane, ace Macedonian. I keep getting this mixed up with my Hebrew also. Kai, Pauline, apo, Macedonias, elthane, pros, himas, Kai, Heath, himon pro pemphene. All right. And through are the agents, by the agents of you to pass through. And it means here, this is dia and erchemai. To pass through unto Macedonia. Macedonian, here, that's in the accusative. Eis Macedonian. Eis there, it's distinction and limitation of the arbiter verbal action, that little Greek preposition there, page 119 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. And again, from Macedonia to come, toward you, to come there, it's second aorist, infinitive active, from erchemai, to come toward you, and by you, by the agency of you, to be sent forth unto Judea. I want you to send me forth unto Judea. Propempso. This comes from pros and pempso, pempo, to send forth. I want you to send forth me unto Judea. Now let's look at it again in the Amplified Bible. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and then to come again to you from on my return trip to Macedonia, and have you send me forward on my way to Judea. He wanted them to give him a blessing, send him on his way to Judea. Number 17 now. Tuto he un boulaminos mete ara te ila fria re samen. A, ha, bulamai, kata, sarka, bulamai, hina, a, par, emoi, to, ne, kai, to, u. Therefore, or because of this, wishing. Now, this word wishing here, buluminos, it means, it comes from bulamai. And it's nominative singular mass and present participle and middle voice. And therefore, wishing for myself neither than the alafria. Alafria, it means to be impulsive. It means to be fickle. It means to do something spontaneously. Many preachers... I knew a preacher one time, he liked to preach spontaneously. He didn't have to prepare messages that way. He said, I like to do this extemporaneously. He said, the notes slowed me down, and maybe they did. He was a very brilliant man, had a good memory. And then the lightness of mind, without the impulse thinking, I did use for myself. Look at that. Kratomai. Did I use for myself? Middle voice. Or, which is, I kept on wishing for myself according to the flesh. I wished for myself in order that may become or may be beside me the yes, yes, and the no, no. Now let's go back and look at this a little bit more. Let's go to the book of Matthew, Katamathion. Go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 5 and verse 37. And we will see what in the world Paul's talking about here. Let your yes be simply yes. Now let's go back up till about verse number 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord as a religious duty. But I tell you, do not bind yourself by an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Or do not swear by your head, for you are not able to make a single hair white or black. He doesn't know about Clairol today, does he? All right. I've seen a lot of that. Verse number 37, let your yes be simply yes, and let your no be simply no. Anything more than this, it says, is poneru, evil, twisted, perverted. Now, anything more than this comes from the evil one. And this goes back to Leviticus 19 and verse 12, and Numbers 30 and verse 2, and Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21. Now, let's go back to the book of Corinthians again. Let's look at this in verse number 17. Now, because I changed my original plan, I was being unstable and capricious. What does that mean? Fickled. I was unplanned. I was spontaneous. Or what I plan to do, I plan according to the flesh, like a worldly man, ready to say yes, yes, when it may mean no, no. He said, don't say no when you mean yes, and don't say yes when you mean no. Mm-hmm. Be truthful and be straightforward. All right, let's go on a little bit further now. Verse number 18. Pistos. Dei. Hothios. Hote. Hologos. Himon. Ho. Pros. Himas. Uk. Esten. Ne. Ku. Ne. Ku. Faithful, but faithful the God that the word of us, the word toward you, not is yes and no. We don't say yes when we mean no. We don't say no when we mean yes. Now, verse number 18, let's look at that again here in the Amplified. As surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, our speech and our message to you have not been yes, that we might mean no. We're honest. We're straightforward. We're not giving you any baloney, so to speak. This is no snow job, what I'm telling you. This is right straight from the Word of God. This is God's Word that I'm giving you. This is the Word of God. It still is the Word of God nearly 2,000 years later. Mm-hmm. Number 19. Very good. Ho, to, theu, gar, huios, Jesus, Christos, ho, en, himen. That's very good. Di, himon, keruk, theis. De, emoi, kai, silvenu, kai, timotheu, uk, hegenito, ne, kai, uk, ala, ne, en, auto, gegonim. For the Son, the heir, Jesus Christ of the God. Now that I had to rearrange these words. It says, the of the gar huios Jesus Christos. Here it says, for the Son of God, for the Son of the God, the one among you, by the agency of us, we have to put a third person pronoun here. He was being proclaimed and preached through or by the agency of me and Silvanu, Emo, Kai, Silvanu, and Silvanus, and Timothy. Now let's look at the word at the Silvanus. Silvanus is a Latin word. It comes from Silas. Now Silvanus, Silvestius Deus. Silvestius Deus. That means the God of the forest, the God of the woods. Now, it also means a tree father, the father of the woods, one that loves plantations and green trees. That's what Silvanus means. Comes from Silas. It means he is the father, he is the protector of the plantations and the forest. This is the God of the forest. That's what the name Silvanus means. And it's a Latin word. It comes from Silas. Now, Silvanus and Timotheus. Timotheus has got a lot better name. Timotheus means to be honorable to God. Mm-hmm. To be honorable to God. And not became yes, kai, uk. Yes and no. But yes, in him it has become. He does not say yes and mean no. He is not a yes man. When I said yes, I meant it. When I said no, I meant it. He wrote that first letter, which was a hard letter to the Corinthian church, to try to straighten out some really serious problems in that church. Now let's read 1 and verse 19 in the Amplified Bible. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus and Timotheus, or Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it is always the divine yes. Jesus is the Son of God. Many religions today say that Jesus was a prophet, that Jesus was a wonderful prophet, a great prophet. But that's all. Islam will say he's a prophet. He's one of the patriarchs. But he is not the Son of God. Without Jesus Christ being the Son of God, you have no salvation whatsoever. It says here that he is the Son of God. They don't like that. When their statement of faith is, there is no God but Allah, and he has no companion, and Muhammad is his prophet. That fails to meet the requirements of salvation. If you say that three times with witnesses, if you say this with witnesses, you become a follower of Muhammad. That's their declaration of faith. I say you one thing to you. Before you can get into heaven, you must say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son. You must repent in your heart of your sins and shortcomings. You must call upon him to save you by what he did for you. There is nothing you can do to get to heaven. We're saved by grace and grace alone. There is nothing. Grace plus nothing. Grace plus nothing. On Sunday morning, I'm teaching about election. And one of the tenets in election is that after we repent of our sins and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save our souls, that God, with an irresistible drawing, leads us into righteousness. That's what some people believe. That with an irresistible calling that he leads us in righteousness. Now, has anyone ever in the Bible, as a child of God, gone the wrong way? They made the wrong decision sometime, didn't they? Did God leave them alone? He kept on pestering them to go the right direction. He keeps on pestering us to go the right direction. 1 in verse 20 now. 1 in verse 20. Hose, okay. Gar, epongalie, theu, en auto, to, ne, Dio, Kai, D, Autu, To, Amen, Tuthiu, Pros, doxon dia himon. For as many as messengers, promises of God. This means certified messages, certified promises. Apongalia, it comes from angelos and epi on the front of that. That is a very, what we call, bona fide promise. It's a promise. Messages of God, promises of God in Him. The yes, wherefore also through Him, and the amen to the God toward glory through us. Now let's see this. The yes, wherefore, and through Him, dia, through Him, by the agency of Him, the amen. Look at that word amen there. That's a particle of affirmation. This is one of the pronouns that is used also in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. He is the faithful and the amen. God is faithful. He is true. The amen comes all the way from the Persian language. It goes into the Hebrew language. Then it goes into the Greek language. Then it comes into the English language. The amen means to prop up. It means to steady. A tent is made out of cloth, isn't it? It would be nothing but a blanket if it didn't have tent poles, would it? But the tent poles make it take form. The tent poles make it take form. The amen, the most affirmative to the God and unto glory through us. Now let's go look at verse number 20 again now. For as many as are the promises of God, the sure promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in Him. Their answer in Him. Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it. Most affirmatively, we'll prop it up, we'll stand behind it. When God sent down His commandments through Moses, all of Israel was supposed to say, we'll stand by it, we'll do it, we'll prop it up, and they would say, amen. And then Jesus, when He was giving us the Word of God in the New Testament, He said, amen, amen, before He said anything. Most assuredly, this is new. This is true, this is true. Utter the amen, so be it. To God, to Him, that is, in His person, and by His agency, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Verse number 21 now. Can you start that one off, Marilyn? Ho, day, Bebion, Himas, Sin, Himen, Eis Christon, Kai, Chrysos, Himas Theou. But the one making firm, that's nominative singular master, present participle active, the one making firm us with you all, unto Christ, and having anointed us, God. Having anointed us, nominative singular masculine and first aorist participle acting. Having something special for us. Having anointed us to something very special. I always tell my class, when I finish the class, go out and do something eternal, because you're going to go do out something eternal anyway. It's very nice if you go do something eternal that you can take it with you. Yes, you can take something out of this world with you. Not money, not gold, not silver. But your service to God you can take with you into eternity and rest in it. Verse number 21. But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ and has consecrated and anointed, has something special for us, enduring us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, I'm the one that laid hands upon you people and gave you the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have. He said, if I come to you, I may give you another gift. And the gift that He's given to them right now is the Word of God, the canon of Scripture, to them. Very few churches have a letter written to them. This is a letter written to them through Paul by God. 22 now. Verse number 22. Marilyn, can you start that off? Ho, kai, thragisomenos, himas, kai, deus, ton, arabone, tu, pneumatos, in tes kardias himon. Both the one having sealed, look at that word there, having sealed for himself, us. Look at that word, that's nominative singular masculine, first aorist participle, middle voice. He sealed us for himself, and having given the earnest of the Spirit in the hearts of us. This is talking about salvation. It's a legal term. This is what you call earnest money, Marilyn. Remember when we bought that property up in Fish Lake Valley? That's the first property we ever bought by us in it together. We gave down money. Now, we gave all the $52,000 to them in one big lump sum, didn't we? Kaboom. Surprised them, all that money sitting there. But when we put that down on this piece of property, they said, this is non-refundable. Now, you can't back out. You can't back out. You back out, you lose your money. And this word, strathgisomenos, and the word arabona there, that means unrefundable down payment.
Having sealed.
Yeah, having sealed, okay, for himself, having given the earnest, the non-refundable down payment. Now, if God doesn't save you, it's not your fault. Did you know that? Once you ask the Lord to forgive you and call upon Him to save your soul, if God doesn't save you, He can't hold it to your account. You know that? Did you know that? Why? Because in each and every saved person, God puts His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, goes in you. And that Spirit of God is your down payment that you will be redeemed. You are earmarked, as they do out there in cattle and hogs and pigs and all that kind of stuff. They're earmarked and they're branded for the resurrection. We are earmarked and branded for the resurrection according to Ephesians, the first chapter, which Paul wrote also. Ephesians is the circular letter to all the churches, even to us today. Having marked us off, having branded us, and earmarked us in eternity past for the redemption of the sons of God. This down payment here is earnest money. It's non-refundable. Now tell me what makes up the Godhead. What makes up God? It's what?
The
who are they?
Spirit.
The Father.
The Son.
And the Son. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third person of the Trinity gives His Spirit in you. You have that Spirit in you that gives you an unction. It's also a non-refundable Spirit. God's not going to take it back. Now, the Spirit of God, as in the leadership of the Lord, as in the Lord's churches, sometimes the leadership of the Holy Spirit leaves those churches. Sometimes the leadership of the Holy Spirit leaves individuals. But the Spirit of God will never leave you, and if God lost His Holy Spirit, He would cease to be. That's how factual, that's how sure your salvation is.
Yeah.
The very existence of God is staked on your salvation. How better gift could we have? The unrefundable Spirit of God in the hearts of you. This is an old legal term. For a non-refundable down payment on a piece of property, if it was not fully reclaimed or redeemed, the down payment was lost. So God places His existence on the line to secure our salvation. How great is our God? How much does He love us? How much does He love us? Okay, number 23 now. Let's go back and read that for just a moment in the Amplified Bible. He has also appropriated and acknowledged us as His, putting His seal upon us and having given us His Holy Spirit in our hearts as a security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of His promise. Unrefundable. God cannot leave you after He seals you with His Spirit. We don't always follow the Lord.
He doesn't change His mind.
God's not going to change His mind about saving us. Thank goodness for that. If God had not sealed me with that Spirit of God, I'd been lost a lot of times. I'd been done for. I'd have been done for, according to me. 23. Ego Dei. Martyro. Martyra, that is. Ton Theon. Epikalumai. Epitain hemon, or eme, that is. Suke, hoti. Phaedominos. Hemon. Ukete. Elthon. Ace Corinthon. But now I witness the God I invoke, I call upon. The life, the soul, that sparing you, no longer I came unto Corinth. Now let's look and see what this says in verse number 23 in the Amplified. But I call upon God as my soul's witness. As the soul of me's witness, it was to avoid hurting you that I refrained from coming to Corinth. What do you mean hurting you? Hurting them. He had some hard things to say to them, so he wrote a letter instead. Now, he could have written four letters to this church, because this church had lots and lots of problems. Verse number 24 now. Let's go to verse number 24, and that's the end of this chapter, and that's where we'll quit in this study. Verse number 24. Uk hote kirieomen Himon, Tais Pistios, Ola, Sinergoi, Esmen, Tais Karos, Himon, Te Gar Piste, Este Kate. Not that we rule over, not that we lord over you. That word lord, that comes Kyrios there. That's the word for Jehovah also in the New Testament. That we rule over you all. The faith, but fellow workers. We are of the joy of you, for in the faith ye have stood. You finally did what I told you to do. Then Paul's going to start defending himself because he's got this these words to say to them. Now he's going to go to chapter 2. Let's go back and read number 24. Not that we have dominion and lordship over you, and to lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy. For in your faith, that is, in your strong and welcome conviction of our belief of that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, you stand firm. Now that's kind of an explanation of this. Let's read it one more time. Not that we have dominion, we have lordship over you, and lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you, fellow laborers, to promote your joy. For in your faith, that is, in your strong and welcome conviction of belief that Jesus is the Messiah, HaMashiach, through whom we obtain, He is the only way that you will attain eternal life. The Catholic Church has a process whereby you are eventually saved. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a process by which you are eventually ushered into the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven anymore because those are already gone, according to them. Many religions, Islam, you got to outweigh your bad works with your good works, and then you got to go on that Hajj over there to Mecca and walk around that stone over there seven times and then go lay your hands on it, and it absorbs your sins, so that way your sins are forgiven. But still, according to Islam, you're resurrected naked, and you got to walk through over the bridge of hell and hope you don't slip in. And you are in a type of purgatory until your sins are remitted. And then you can walk into the presence of God. And if you do not struggle, if you don't jihad for the sake of Allah, you can't go anyway. The only way that a Muslim can go to heaven is to die in jihad. To die defending or promulgating the faith. That's why they will give their lives and say, Allah Akbar. God is greater. God is greater. And they'll die thinking that they're going to open their eyes up into paradise with all these virgins and all this eternal bliss. And yet they open their eyes up and they're in eternal hellfire. They're in Hades.
Did the Jews just think Jesus was a prophet?
Yes. No, they didn't even say he was a prophet. They didn't like him at all. The Jews don't like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He was a false prophet as far as they're concerned,
okay,
to this day. And the Pharisees of the day are the Orthodox Jews.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
No other questions. Let's read it one more time. And now that we have dominion, not that we have dominion over you and lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy in your faith, that is, in your strong and welcome conviction, our belief that Jesus is the Messiah, that is it,
mm-hmm.
through whom we have obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, you stand firm.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church asked for seven sacraments, and you have to observe those sacraments. One of the sacraments is to get married, but you don't get married because you love each other. You get married to have kids. And when you can't have kids anymore, then you can't have sex anymore. It's all, for everything is a religion of forbidden pleasures. God, the sacrament of the bond to you, of the Eucharist to them, that is a transference, that is a vehicle of grace. All of these seven sacraments are vehicles of grace. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the one and only vehicle of grace. We believe in Him. We're sealed by His Holy Spirit of God. And through that, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and Him only, not what we do. He works through us. But we don't save ourselves, nor do we help Him save us, as the Armenian philosophy says. It's a work between God and us. Salvation is by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only, nothing else, saved by grace and nothing else. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we commit these words to you as they go out to all the world. I pray that they will take and do their effect out there. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us of our evil thoughts, our evil actions, our wickedness in our hearts. Convict us to do thy will. Thank you for the salvation that you gave in us, that and that unrefundable foundation and gift that we have of the Spirit, your Spirit in us. Forgive us for our failure. Help us to glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray.